Please turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And let us read Revelation chapter 21 from verses 9 to 27 responsively. Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 to 27. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystals. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of gold, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Together, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lord bless the reading of His sacred word. Revelation chapter 21 is about the new heavens and the new earth, as well as the new Jerusalem. We saw last week, especially, who are those that will enter into the new Jerusalem, and also who are those that will not enter into the new Jerusalem. We pray that we will be accounted among those who will enter. those who will not enter, the description given to us is very detailed. It includes those who are fearful, those who are unbelieving, those who are abominable, those who are murderers, those who are whoremongers, those who are sorcerers, those who are idolaters, and those who are liars. Right? All these shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So these would be the people that will not enter into the new Jerusalem. Now, having settled this, now the Bible continues with a more detailed description of what you will find in this city. Interestingly, we find that the description beginning this way in verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. Now these angels will be the one who are involved in the last set of judgments which are pronounced or poured down upon the world. Now, what is the significance of having one of these angels to come and then to present this particular revelation right now? Now, you will see that this particular revelation that will be presented will be very much different in terms of its nature compared to that of the seven vows, isn't it? And you will notice that the seven vows deal very, or one of the major themes of the seven vows would be the destruction of the capital city of the Antichrist. The capital city of the Antichrist is described in the book of Revelation as Babylon. The description we have also seen before is a place where evil will run amok. It will not be checked. It will be a place where demonic forces will have its free reign. It will be a place whereby the materialism of the world will reach its peak. That will be the city of Babylon. It will be a city full of chaos. Now, and it is a city, of course, that is very gloomy, a city that is actually very dark in terms of its spiritual life. Right? It is a big fat zero. A city full of wickedness, a city full of evil. You compare this with what we have down here. Now, if that particular sections of the book of Revelation describe the capital of the Antichrist. Now, what we have down here in Revelation chapter 21, especially from verse 9 onwards, would describe the capital of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the new Jerusalem, not the old Jerusalem which has been stained by the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah, but the new Jerusalem, whereby it will be a city that is full of beauty, a city where sin will not molest. And therefore, you have this angel which came. Because this angel which came, right, representative of the seven angels that gave the vow judgments. Now, this one angel, which in the past declared doom and gloom, and also the one which gives the description of the capital city of the Antichrist. Now, he will give the description of the capital city of Christ. And so here he will come. He will talk to John and then say, come hither. In other words, come and then pay very special attention to the place where I'm going to show you. This place is going to be called the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, this is something that is very interesting. Now, the Lamb, the bride down here is going to be called the great city, the new Jerusalem. Wife, bride. This would talk very much about the marriage covenant, isn't it? Now, what do we mean when we say that two people are joined in holy matrimony? What do we mean by having the covenant of marriage? We are saying that this man and this wife are now united to be as one flesh, isn't it? Like united to be as one flesh. There is this mystery of unity. And unity, of course, right, in the Lord, right? It's the Lord who joined, right, this man and woman together. Now, what we have down here is what we call the Holy Jerusalem, the great city, the new Jerusalem, and this city will be joined together with the Lamb, joined together with Christ. So united, right? As though they are, right, inseparable. And why is this the case? Well, because this new Jerusalem, right, the very existence of it is due to who? Right, it's due to the Lamb itself, isn't it? Due to Christ Himself. And here especially the word used is Lamb. Why? Because Christ gave Himself for the people of this particular city so that the city may come into existence. He is the one who shed His precious blood upon the cross. Otherwise, this particular city would not even have come into existence. This particular city, its existence is due to Christ. This unity between the city and Christ is also due to the fact that Christ shed His precious blood upon the cross. The very fact that this city is holy is also because of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. So understand this, and there is this unity, this joining together. Okay, so please understand this. And so, when we talk about the marriage covenant here in this life, please understand also the seriousness of it, right? When we talk about husband and wife being joined together in holy matrimony, this unity is one that is very special, very unique in Christ Jesus, just like the unity that you're going to see here in these particular verses. United, right, these two cities, right, rather this city united with Christ in this covenant, marriage covenant, joined together, cannot be separated. And so this bride will come. And He carried me away in the spirit also. We do not know what is a mystery. And then to this great and high mountain. And show me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out. Right? So this holy Jerusalem, not the unholy one, the holy one. And this Jerusalem come directly from God Himself. Now, later we will see how great and how high this mountain is, okay? Because when we think about great and high mountain, we normally think about in terms of the world, right? What is the world's highest mountain? Okay, Ebenezer, world highest mountain. Who knows? Quick. Please tell me you know. Mount Everest. Okay, who is the one who say Mount Everest? Gershon, right? Mount Everest, how high? Wow, not bad, 8848, you are right. 8848, right? Or is it 8488? 8848. Okay, 8848. Wow, not bad. 8848, right? Okay, 8848, huh? So that is the highest mountain so far in the world. Okay, let's see how high this mountain is likely to be, okay? Now, this city that came down is a city like no other city in the world, because it is a city whereby the glory of God was so visible. Now, do you see any city in the world today whereby the glory of God so shines and shines so bright that you need no other light? No, right? No city in the world is like that. But this particular city came down from heaven. Her light was so bright, light as a stone most precious. Now, what is this stone most precious that is being described down here? Well, it's being said to be a jasper stone. Now, this particular jasper stone is known to be a stone that has many, many colors, multi-color stone. But interestingly here, this jasper stone is also said to be clear as crystal. So I tried to do some finding about this jasper stone. I find it hard to describe. It must be a stone that, you know, sometimes we read all this, we try and know all these names of these stones, and then we try and fit into the kind of stones that we see on this world, right? But I sometimes think that, you know, all these stones that are described down here, well, maybe the only time where we know whether or not it looks that way is to get to heaven. Because you see, even the gold, right? Later on, you see the gold, pure gold is transparent. So this jasper stone, supposed to be of many colors and yet clear as crystal. How can it be? Well, very hard to understand. Perhaps it is a stone that is so clear And because of the light of God, right, it reflects and then right, beams the light right, into many different colors around the city. Well, we really don't know. We can only imagine, right? That is something that we have to accept from God's word. Like, for example, you know, you ask those who live in the early ages, right, of after Christ, right? Let's say maybe around, let's say even about 200 years ago, before 1948. You talk about Israel. And then you read the book of Ezekiel, and then in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about how the desert will turn into a garden. You ask all these people, and when they read those particular passages, they will not be able to imagine. Right? I know this because this was told to me by Mrs. Toh. Mrs. Toh, she never, right, when she was young, she could have never imagined how this desert turned into a garden. She said herself, until she visited the Holy Land, and then she suddenly saw, wow, this desert or desert area also can have farm. Right? You cannot imagine. Now, you place yourself in the shoes of those people before, whereby all this technology has not been invented. And then you say, well, in the desert, there is going to be a garden. All these farms, it's going to be like farmland. You ask the people how to imagine. They just cannot imagine, right? But they just simply have to read the scriptures and then accept it by faith that one day all these things like this will happen. Now, of course, it's a little easier for us because we start to see all these things happening. So same down here with regards to the New Jerusalem. Right? All we can do is, well, we simply accept this particular description and just say, wow, Lord, how wonderful. I pray that I will be there to see. Right? If you are, of course, a resident of the New Jerusalem, well, you will get to see this. And then we begin to understand the fullness of it. Right? What exactly it means to be like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and yet reflecting many colors. And of course, right, this is a description of how magnificent, right, is the glory of God in this particular city. And if that is not beautiful enough, look at the descriptions down here. And a wall great and high, which we'll see how high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels. So you have 12 gates, each gate has a particular guardian, and each gate has the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now we will see why 12 tribes of the children of Israel later on, okay? Let's go on. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. So 3, 3, 3, 3. On the 4 walls, right, on the 4 sides, right, of the particular city. And then we are told down here that the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and then the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So what we have down here would be this, right? You see 12 tribes of the children of Israel, 12 apostles of the Lamb. So, and this will be the foundations and the gates of the entire city. So what do they represent? Well, they would represent, therefore, the foundations of our faith. Our foundation of faith lies in what? Well, from the Old Testament time, which is the time of the national witness, right? You have the children of Israel, and then after that, you will have the 12 apostles of the Lamb, the New Testament time, right? On these right hands, our faith, isn't it? That is why you have Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, right? You turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, and here God's words says, right, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstones, right? Apostles and prophets. Now, some would say that these prophets here would be New Testament prophets. Right? My personal opinion, especially based from the book of Revelation, no, I would tend to regard the apostles as like the time of the New Testament, and the Lord will use the apostles to give us God's word. And then the prophets, right, will be the ones, right, in the New Testament time, or Old Testament time rather, which God will use to give us his word. And so therefore, right, with the entire Bible as our foundation, well, we grow, right? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, being the living word and himself, right? And we are founded upon Christ. Right? And I and we also get to see this here, right, in Revelation chapter 21 itself. Now, and so when we talk about the apostles, please, when we talk about apostles and then we talk about the apostles' writings and teachings, well, the apostles' writings and teachings and the pattern which they set before us, well, they are, it is an infallible pattern. A pattern to be emulated, a pattern to be followed, right, in our life and in our practice, right? In the apostles' doctrine, right? And then the apostles' pattern, practice, right? Both in terms of, right, how a church should be run, how a family should be run, how to conduct missions, all these things, right, which the apostles teach, right, would be the, right, would be infallible, right, and need, and should be accepted as the word of God itself. Right? So take note of this. And also take note, how many apostles down here? How many apostles? 12, right? So sometimes the question is asked, how many apostles are there in total? Is it 12 or 13, right? Because if you turn to the book of Acts, right? Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse let me see, where should I start off? Yeah, verse 23 onwards, right? They wanted to find a person to take over the, right, the last position of the apostle, which was, of course, vacated by Judas Iscariot. Right, then you see two persons down here, right? Verse 23, right? Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, okay? And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So some would say, therefore, you have Matthias, so he will be 12, and then after that you have what, Paul, right? Paul was clearly called an apostle. So they say 13 apostles. So is it 13 or 12? Well, some would say 13. But I tend to believe, right, here from the book of Revelation that the correct number should be 12. Because they say, right, here is 12, right, not 13. So why? So how to explain, right, Acts chapter 1? Or some would say, oh, Acts chapter 1 is a wrong move by the apostles. But then the apostles pray unto the Lord, and then the Lord show by lot, right, who should be chosen. So how can it be a mistake? I don't think that is a mistake. The way I would regard it, right, this is my own view, right? I state that my own view. So if you disagree with me, okay. But I need to give my own view, right, based upon, right, the scriptures down here. My own view is this. In Acts chapter 1, what the apostles did was right, because it will be a passage of time, right, before you have the appointment of the apostle Paul. So during this period of time, right, temporarily, who do you have to take up the apostleship? Well, you have Matthias. Then after that, in due season, right, when the apostle Paul was called, well, then he would take over the apostleship, right, to be the 12th. Right, that is my view, okay? If we differ, okay, good, but we can pray, and then we pray, and then after that we get to heaven, we ask the Lord for the right answer. But this is how I would view it. I would think, for, based upon the scriptures, the number of the apostles should be 12. Because why? The Bible here in the book of Revelation says so, right? 12 apostles. Okay? Importantly though, right, upon this foundation, right, 12 foundations, right, you have the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, apostolic foundation. Right, the Lord, through the apostles, give us His Word. The Word is the foundation, right? That is the key. And so the people who live in the city must also what? Must also be people who have the Word of God as their foundation. No other foundation but the Word of God and Christ Jesus. Right? That is what we must understand from here. And then, you have this city. Wow, this city. Let's see how majestic it is. And the city lieth four square. And the length is as large as the breadth. Okay, so the length is as large as the breadth. So, in a 2D picture, what you have is a what? Length and breadth is the... Right, one of the possible shapes is what? Y'all can remember this, not Ebenezer. You all know what this means, right? This, okay, equal length, huh? Right. This is what? Square. Right. One possible shape. Of course, you can have others. Whatever, and then you, when you measure, you know, it can be square or it can be maybe twisted a little bit, but when you measure length and breadth, right, in the two dimension, it is still equal. Right, we do not know how it likes, but at least we know length, breadth, equal. Right? So all these things will be measured with the golden reed. Okay, so the length, the city lieth four square, so four sides. Length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. So the question is, how long is 12,000 furlongs? And then later on, we are told, well, even the height of it are equal. So let's say if we stick by exactly what we see down here, we do not think that there may be any curvatures anywhere. Well, it would be basically a what? Basically like a cube, right? Because the length, the breadth, the height, all equal. And then each side will be 12,000 furlongs. 12,000 furlongs. 12,000. Right here will be 12,000. How long is 12,000 furlongs? Now, based upon the measurement in those days, right, one furlong, right, the estimation will be about 2,300 kilometers, which will be about the right length of right the United States of America, 2,300 kilometers. Okay, so this is 2,300 kilometers, right? This is tall. Okay, where is my friend? That's not who. Is it Gideon or Gershon who gave me the answer? I cannot remember. Okay. How high is Mount Everest? 8,848 meters. Okay, this is 2,300 kilometers. Mount Everest? Meters, which is 8.848 kilometers. Okay, which is taller? Which is taller? New Jerusalem or Mount Everest? Taller by how much? Okay, do estimation fast. Divided by 8, right? 300 times, right? 300 times taller, no? So you look at Mount Everest, if you think Mount Everest is high, and then the people of the world think, well, what achievement to climb Mount Everest.
Well, maybe next time they should try climbing New Jerusalem. That high. Okay, 300 times the height of Mount Everest. And then in terms of length, you need to put how many? You need to put 300 Mount Everest in terms of length, 300 Mount Everest in terms of breadth. So that is why when you talk about the New Jerusalem, can it contain the number of saints? I would certainly think so. Right? A very big and majestic city. Similarly, from the description down here, shaped like a cube. Now, how can a city be shaped like that? I really don't know. Right? When we go to New Jerusalem, we know. Okay, but this is what is described here in the Bible. And purposely described this way to tell us how magnificent this is. That if you look at all the cities of the world that we live in today, every single city will pale in comparison with this city that will be constructed by God Himself. Right? Because it came from God, directly from heaven. Right? The heavenly blueprint. God Himself planned, designed, and built this particular city. Right? Without Christ Jesus, this city would not even be there. But because of Christ Jesus, this city now exists. So magnificent. With this in mind, you ask yourself, why would you therefore want to clamor after living in the cities of this world? Now, sometimes people want to live in the cities of the world. They start to ask themselves, hey, you know, Singapore is so small. Have you ever heard of people think like, oh, Singapore is so small? You know, Singapore has no attraction, you know. The only attractions we have in Singapore is what? Jurong Bird Park. Jurong Bird Park, Sentosa, so small. Then after a while, you go, you finish all the attractions. Now the latest attractions, at most, you can see is Gardens by the Bay. Wow, Sakura. Now it's what? Sakura Gardens, I think. Wow, after that, nothing to see already. Ah, you're so boring, Singapore. Hey, I heard that, wow, this place in the world is very nice. So some would say, well, go Europe, go Australia, go whatever city. Their dream city. I want to be there. I want to smell the air. Wow, the weather is so nice, you know. Cannot get. You see, Singapore, every day is either very hot weather or very wet weather or very hot and very wet weather. Right? That's Singapore weather, right? I want to live. I want to go to this beautiful place. It's my dream city. And then they shape their entire life in order to go to this particular city there to live, not even asking whether or not it's the Lord's will. And they clamor after this as their dream. Now, why do we clamor after this as our dream? When God has already told us that one day we will be in this particular city that is far more beautiful than all the cities in the world, definitely more beautiful than Singapore, definitely more beautiful than and majestic than all the cities of this world. And besides that, right, even in terms of architecture, already they lost in terms of architecture, in terms of beauty. But what is even more important down here is that in this particular city, the glory of God shines forth. All the rest of the city of the world, do you have the glory of God shining forth as it is in this case? Don't have, isn't it? Yet this is the kind of city that we will be living in, if, of course, you are born again. 300 Everest wide, 300 Everest long, and 300 Everest in terms of height. And then in terms of the wall, here we are told 144 cubits, so approximately 60 to 70 meters in terms of length. How long is 60 to 70 meters? You run 100 meters and then you divide by half and then you add a little bit. That will be about 60 meters long. And that is very, very, very thick. Right? How long do you take to run 100 meters? Where is Sarah? Is not here. Sarah is teaching. Should ask Sarah, the sprinter. Okay. So after Sarah, who is the fastest already down here? Anybody can run 10 seconds here? Or 9 seconds? Anybody can run 9 seconds here? Metatarsus, 9 seconds? Yes? Cannot. Why so slow? No. My fastest in the world still slower than that, right? So you run 100 meters, you take away a little bit. That would be the length of the wall. So thick. All throughout the entire city. Right? Of the measure of a man. Then when you look at the building of the wall, right, look, that's why just now we talked about jasper, now it says here again,
It was of jasper, right? So that's why the whole city shines like a jasper stone. And then the city of itself was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Oh, I really want to see this kind of gold. Women, do you want to wear this kind of gold? I don't know. Right? So you look at all your gold you have today. Actually, nothing compared to the gold next time. Right? Real gold, clear glass. Then foundations of the world garnished with all manners of precious stones. Now, all these precious stones simply to describe the magnificence and beauty of the city, right? The majestic nature of New Jerusalem, the majesty of God. Also, some would say, right, based upon what is written in the book of Leviticus, right, they would say that, oh, because on the breastplate of the priest, right, you have 12 manner of stones, so therefore this also represents how the city is holy. That is possible. Of course, if you look at this stone and then you compare the description of these stones with the description of the stones on the breastplate of the high priest, you realize that there are some differences. But there is a possibility. Anyway, we are told earlier on that this Jerusalem, this new Jerusalem, is called what? Holy Jerusalem. I purposely call Holy Jerusalem to contrast with the Jerusalem that we have seen in the past that is said to be of the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is not. This is a Jerusalem that is unstained by idolatry, unstained by sin. Pure. Holiness. Why? Because God, Lord, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb Himself is dwelling in that city. So therefore, this city truly is holiness unto the Lord. And that holiness itself is the glory of this particular city. No other city in the world is like this. Even if you talk about Geneva in the past, whereby they say that it is the very dream city of Europe, it is the example of the entire continent. Cannot compare to this. Because no matter what, the people dwelling in the city, they are still sinners saved by grace. And they still sin. But down here, no more sin. And so, well, how beautiful. You have the foundations of the wall of the city garnished with all these precious stones. And then we are told the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Well, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. That means each gate is what? One pearl, no? So, any one of you ladies are wearing pearl earrings or pearls right now? Sister Jane, pearl. That pearl, in this world, very nice. Next time, not so valuable compared to the gate. Because the gate, one gate, no, I cannot imagine a gate. Well, how big? And then it's made of one gigantic pearl. Well, how to do that? I also don't know. Only God can do it, right? So every several gate was of one pearl. No? So one pearl for one gate. City, the street, all pure gold, like transparent glass. Wow, so wonderful. But the most amazing thing is verse 22. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So in some sense, there is no temple. No temple meaning there is no longer this temple structure that is found in a particular city. Why no need for a temple? Now, this is where we have to understand what the temple is supposed to do right today, right? When in the Old Testament times, when we have a temple, right, initially the tabernacle, what is the temple supposed to signify? It's supposed to signify the visible presence of God, right? That is what the temple is supposed to do. But now, God Himself is there. Why is there a need for a temple? God Himself is there, and He therefore is the temple. So in some sense, no temple. In some sense, there is a temple because Christ Jesus Himself is found in the New Jerusalem itself. And because He is found there in all His glory, therefore there is no need for any light anymore. The Lamb Himself is so glorious, His light was spread throughout the entire city. So if therefore you want to see the sun, of course don't see the sun in terms of, don't go and stare at the sun right now, okay? Don't, it will hurt your eye.
But you want to appreciate the sun right now, you better appreciate while you're on this world. Because next time when you go to New Jerusalem, sorry, no sun. Right, firstly, no sea, right? So no seafood, so you all know. No seafood, so all your prawns, whatever, now you better appreciate. Next time you go to New Jerusalem, another thing that you don't have, no sun. But I don't think you'll miss the sun. Because you have the Lamb Himself, which is far more glorious than the sun that we have today. He Himself is the light. And He Himself is the one who provides the light whereby we can see all things, and so therefore we know exactly where to walk, we know exactly where to go. He is the one who provides the direction. He is the one who commands us exactly what to do. These are people who now can truly see and see very clearly, right? The nations of them which are saved, right? They shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. So firstly, you have the Lamb. He is the, right? He Himself is the glory of the city. He shines. He provides the radiance. Then on top of it, you have the kings of the earth. And who are the kings of the earth? The kings of the earth would be none other than us, right? Because we are the ones who are made kings by Christ Himself to reign together with Him. So we ourselves, we will go there and we ourselves will bring glory and honor unto it. In other words, we will go into the city and we who are living in the city, we will keep praising the Lamb, rendering all Lord and honor unto Him. And when we praise, that is what it means by bringing glory and honor unto it. We praise Him because of you. So therefore, we can live in this city because of you. So therefore, the beauty that we see down here is possible. All glory must go unto thy name. And then we will kowtow, we will sing, and we will keep on worshipping the Lord God Almighty. And then when He talks about the gates, now most gates in the world will remain shut, right? Will remain shut or open. When you open, it's only because you want people to go in. But sometimes, when the time comes where you want to keep people out of it, you will shut. You will keep it shut. But down here, the gates, yes, you have gates, but the gates are perpetually open, right? And the gates of it shall not, shall absolutely not, right? That is the sense of it down here. Shall absolutely not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. What does it mean? No night? By day, we will not be shut. That means forever open. And why forever open? Because now in this world, right, in this new heavens and new earth, there will no longer be any more enemies, isn't it? No longer any more enemies. The people of God do not need to worry about the enemies anymore, because everyone that is in the new heavens and new earth, they would have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. No more sin, no more evil, no more wickedness. You do not need to worry. You do not need to be like today. You have a HDB block. You must have a door. And some people, a door not enough. You must be electronic, right? You go evangelism, you see electronic door, key, everything. Last time used to have all the keys to unlock, right? Mechanism. And some people, they will have many locks. You open, the first door is one lock, right? Then the gate itself have one lock. Then sometimes you visit certain HDB blocks you were in the past. Nowadays, not so much. In the past, you will see, I ever visited one HDB block before, flat. Wow, don't know how many locks, no. One on top, one at the bottom, one below. Lock, lock, lock. And then the door itself have one lock and another lock. Wow, so many locks. I wonder how the person can endure this. You know, it means every time I go in, I must unpick each one, you know, to go in. Wow, the person, wow, very scared. Very scared of what? Of course, robbers and thieves, right? People, he does not want to go in. And then we'll go in and plunder and steal. Now, in Singapore, sometimes we take all these things for granted. We have door, we lock, but we think we don't expect anything to happen because, well, by God's mercy, well, in Singapore, relatively safe, right? We do not expect people to come in to plunder and steal. But in some countries, you better have your locks because people will come in and steal, right? They will be, they are wicked men, they are sinners, and if they come in and then they find that you are awake, sometimes they may even kill you. Don't need to go far. You go, for example, to, like for example, Kuala Lumpur. It's already that dangerous in some places. When I was in staying in Kelvijaya, they have security guards outside. And then they have cameras everywhere. And then they will purposely, right in the first floor, they will have their light switch on. Light switch on so that people would think that, oh, there are at least a few people staying there, or their activity, the people are awake. Because it is very possible that there will be people who will come in to climb and then to steal. And they're not only steal, worse still, they may even harm you. Right? So don't need to look very far. In neighboring country, we already have. And even our neighboring country is still safer than a lot of other places in the world. And so therefore, people must have gates, must have locks, all these things, they must have. Because we live in a wicked and sinful world, so therefore we must have all these doors, and all these doors will be shut. But in a place whereby there is no longer sin, no longer wickedness, no longer iniquity, why do you need a gate that is shut? You do not need. The gate and doors will be forever open. We will not need all these things. We will not need alarms. We will not need all these webcams. Right? We do not need all these things. Everyone, brethren of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a member of the Holy Family, cleansed by His blood, holy. There's no need to guard against each other anymore, isn't it? Everyone is united in Christ Jesus to praise His name. There will be no one who will destroy one another anymore. That's why the gates can just remain open all day. People free to go through all these gates. And the nations will keep pouring in, giving glory and honor unto the new Jerusalem. That is why some people say, well, maybe in the future, when we talk about new Jerusalem, there may be more than just the new Jerusalem. And so we may have a new Jerusalem, and then you may have other cities, and then the people from the cities will all go to New Jerusalem. Why? I do not know. Perhaps there is only one. But even you talk about New Jerusalem itself, you look at the beauty of it, I believe it could easily contain all. So I do not know, but the key down here is this, is that this particular city will be unlike any other cities in the world because of the Lamb of God. Simple as that. And also because of who is not inside. Once again, this reminder. They shall in no wise, take note of the expression down here, very nicely translated in the King James. No wise, that means, please do not even think of any one of such people entering into it. Not a single one. Who are these people who will not enter into it? Anyone who worketh abomination or worketh a lie. Interestingly, it talks about abomination. Abomination is a very general word which talks about people engaged in all kinds of evil deeds. Then when you talk about the next description, it talks about a lie. Once again, a lie. So please, if you call yourself a Christian, and if you are truly a Christian, please make sure you abhor lying. Please make sure you abhor falsehood. Satan himself is called the father of lies, and so therefore he is not found in the New Jerusalem. With respect to Christians also, as far as possible, we must always make sure we tell the truth. And we obey and follow the truth. Because God does not like lying. Okay, so understand this. Because nowadays in the world, people find it very easy to just lie. Especially when lying gets you to places they will want to do so. Don't do that. Don't do it whether in terms of your school, lie to get better grades. Don't do this in terms of your business, lie in order to get a promotion, lie in order to get more clients, lie in order to secure a very lucrative project. Don't ever do it, because that is what the Lord hates. And if you are consistently devoted to lies, you will not be found there. Right? The word lie. Mentioned twice. All liars, remember just now, verse 8. Now, again, he that maketh a lie. So don't do that. Okay, because these are the people who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So one more time, we come before the Lord, asking the Lord to examine our hearts. This is a question that will be posed throughout our entire life, and we better make sure we answer in the affirmative. Is your name written in the Book of Life? And this is something that the church must never fear to declare.
never fail to ask, is your name written in the book of life? Is your name written in the book of life? Because if your name is not written in the book of life, then whatever we have described down here, how majestic this city is, how wonderful it is, it will not be applicable to you. You will not be there. You will not be in this 2,300 kilometers tall, long, wide, New Jerusalem. Not there. That is not your place. So therefore, if you truly yearn to be in this particular place, you must come to the Lamb of God. Because only the Lamb of God can bring you into this New Jerusalem. Are you married to the Lamb of God? And I pray, therefore, that if you are not, this particular season, especially this Passion Week season, where we talk about the triumph of Jesus Christ as exemplified firstly through his death and after that through his resurrection, that you will ponder about this and then you will truly come to accept him as your Lord and Savior, and you will be a citizen of that particular city. It is a very, very important question, and you must keep asking yourself this question, and you must be very, very sure, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you do, you can look forward to this place. Don't clamor after the things of the world. Please, don't clamor, because the things of the world cannot be compared to this description of the New Jerusalem that is found down here. Nothing can compare to it. And this is just the beginning of the description, because when you come to Revelation chapter 22, further description of it, and after that, the conclusion. And at the end of it, here in the Bible, it ends with the Lord Jesus Christ himself saying, surely I come quickly. And our response must be, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I pray that this will also be your cry, that this New Jerusalem will cause you to look forward to the heavenly hope above, to the time where we will be forever with the Lord, because that will be a most wonderful and beautiful moment of our lives. And it is a moment for eternity, forever and ever. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, oh, how we thank thee for the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And how, Lord, we ask that you will wash us by this blood. We want to be in that wonderful city which will descend from thee, the New Jerusalem, whereby there will be no need for the temple, because Christ Jesus is the temple of that city. Oh, how we look forward to dwell within his presence, to bathe in his glory, to bathe in his majesty. How joyous that will be. And so, Father, as we go through this life, and oftentimes we are met with the many problems and challenges, the aches and the pains that plague the people of this world. Oh Lord, cause us never to despair, but to know, Lord, that this sin-sick world that we are living in will soon be gone. But we will be found as a citizen of this glorious city. So comfort us with these words and strengthen us by thy truth, that in this world we will be most willing to endure all things for the sake of Christ. This we ask and pray in Jesus' most blessed name. Amen.